This week is Tisha B'Av, the Shabbos is Tisha B'Av, and I'd like to address how one should relate to the Shabbos. You know, if this would be a regular year, if Tisha B'Av would not be falling on Shabbos, we'd be sitting on the floor, we'd be saying kinnis, we'd be miserable correctly, we'd be not eating, wouldn't be drinking, wouldn't be wearing regular shoes. This Shabbos, because it's Shabbos, everything changes. Everything. We can eat, we can drink. The Shulchan Aruch says, even somebody who's not used to having meat and wine. Yeah, it's mashem from the Mishra, from the Shulchan Aruch. He's had to have meat and wine, even Shalosh Shudos time. A person can enjoy himself. A person can have an oinig Shabbos. A person with the minig is for us to wear Shabbos clothes. The minig is for us to sing Zemiris. The minig is for us to show absolutely no Hakara, no visible mourning b'chlal on Shabbos, nothing. But even from the Gedolim, the Arizal, it was brought down. You cannot see on the Arizal any form of avedus b'chlal, nothing. So it seems, from the outset, it seems that it's a bit of a cop out. It's sort of like we're taking it easy. No, that like, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, Tisha B'Av. It's Tisha B'Av, it's falling on Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, Shabbos covers it up. To an extent, if one works through the 9 days properly, that answer doesn't begin. And there's three different mahalchim. One's a very, very simple mahalach. What exactly are we supposed to be feeling on the Shabbos? What exactly is the fact that when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, there's no avedus b'chlal? Is absolutely, we put Tisha B'Av under the carpet, we sweep it under the carpet. What is the idea behind that? How are we supposed to address our feelings and emotions on this Shabbos with the Etzem is Tisha B'Av? There's a famous story with Rav Simcha Binim from Shischa. He's a Talmud of Chayz of Mablim. And he had many, many Hasidim who used to clamor, they used to come from all over Poland to come along to see him to be with the Rebbe on Shabbos. And there was one particular Talmud, one particular Chosid, who was very bitter, very critical. And on various occasions, he attempted to travel to be with Rav Simcha Binim on Shabbos. And for whatever happened, it just posh never worked out. One time the horse died, one time the wagon wheel broke, one time the rain was so much that he couldn't travel. Whatever happened, it just posh never worked out that he was with him for Shabbos. And usually he just went back. And one time he came, Nebuchadnezzar, on Sunday morning, upset. He's already spent so many days trying to get to the Rebbe. He did not allow him to come on Shabbos. And this man was really bitter, really grumbling and complaining. The Rebbe said to him, I've got to tell you something. I'll tell you something, a very interesting thing. You know, Shabbos is a very wonderful host. Shabbos is a wonderful host. It moves aside for its guests. For example, let's say Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So on every regular Shabbos, there's a Haftorah that you read on that Shabbos. And there's a maftir that is part of Shabbos, right? When Rosh Chodesh comes along, Shabbos is such a good guest, just such a good host, he says, you know what? My tired guest, my dear guest, you have maftir. I'll let you have maftir. You know what? I'll even change musaf. Musaf will be a whole different musaf. Ati Yitzarato will change musaf for you. When it gets to Yontav, falling on Shabbos, even more than that. Yontav, not only does Shabbos give the maftir and the musaf, he even gives a whole Kriya Satira to Yom Tov. The whole Kriya Satira, Shabbos steps back, Yom Tov, you take it with pleasure. Yom Kippur, even more. Yom Kippur, the Kriya Satira, the Maftir, the Musaf. Not only that, Shabbos says, you know what, take my meals as well. Usually have meals on Shabbos, take my meals as well. He said there's only one time of the year that Shabbos does not invite, does not treat the guest well. And that is Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av comes along, and Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, Shabbos says, no, you wait. I'm not allowing you in here. I'm Shabbos now. Right now, I don't allow you to change anything whatsoever in my Shabbos. Says the Rebbe to the Talmud, just maybe Shabbos doesn't like misery. Just maybe Shabbos doesn't want you to join it because he's such a miserable, upset, critical person. Maybe that's why not coming to management meetings for Shabbos. Okay, this is a simple Chabunim Kashishka. But the idea is that you're right. Shabbos is a simcha. Shabbos is Yom Zayisrael Uyur of the Simcha. There's an element of Shabbos of Simcha. But you're fine. But today, Sacha Kol is Tisha B'Av. Where does that Simcha go? What's the idea that we sort of keep going? We don't allow Tisha B'Av to infringe on our Simcha on Shabbos when ultimately it's Avedus. Now, it's difficult to relate to this, but if one goes, if one hangs around, if one is able to have the schus to be together with Gedolei Olam during the time of Avedus, it's something tangible, it's something real. It's not keeping the halachas, you can't eat meat, you can't eat meat, you can't drink wine, you can't drink wine. Yeah, you can't have this music, so we'll have a cappella, right? You can't have meat, so we'll have soya. The those people that are supposed to be in Gateshead with the Gedolim in Gateshead, with the Rabbonim, the Rosh Shivas, the Mashgichim, I've been in Yerushalayim with the Gedolim, with the Talmidei Chachamim. You can actually feel, you actually feel the Avedus. There is mamish, you can feel the fact that we're something missing. There's atzvus, there's depression, there's a genuine sense of upset. Chas v'sholem to say there is no simcha there. You know, who is it? Rishim Shvab said that the Mishnah says Mishnichnas Av Ma'abim Simcha. Also Mishnichnas Adom Ma'abim Simcha. Mishnichnas Av Mema'atim Simcha. Nowhere does it say you shouldn't have any Simcha B'chol. Mema'atim means you minimize it, like on a flame, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, but you never put out Simcha, you never extinguish Simcha. This is Rishim Shvab. Yeah, you never extinguish Simcha. The Avodah of the 9 days, the Avodah of the 3 weeks, is supposed to bring a person to a level where he actually feels that Avodah to an extent, that his life is different. He doesn't eat meat and drink wine because he doesn't fancy eating meat and drinking wine. You know, Ben mentioned the other day that there's no issa for an oval to eat meat and drink wine. Correct. But I do remember when my father sitting shiva for his sister, I offered him, you know, everyone else is eating chicken and whatever, he couldn't eat it. He posture couldn't. You know, people, you can't, if a person's upset, Rachmana Litzlan, a person's broken, he can't eat a big meal. Eating meat and drinking wine, on one hand, prevents us from being besimcha, but on the other hand, if we are in the mood that the 9 days is supposed to be preparing us for, you shouldn't even fancy eating meat and drinking wine. That's not what we want to do. We have no shaykhus to this, we don't want to have it. And we're sitting there in the 9 days, not wallowing in sorrow about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's wallowing in sorrow, the Chazal say, that it's something that the Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot allow us to have a base in Migdosh, because the base Migdosh and us can't be in the same world together. It's either us or the base in Migdosh. And because we're here, the base Migdosh says, you know what, I'll stay back. It's our own personal tsar that it's not possible that we can have a base in Migdosh. That is tsar. That is a pain that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not trust us with a base in Migdosh. He does not want a base Midrash and us to be in the same world. That is our own personal misery. That is something that's depressing. If one knew what one's missing, if one knew what's chaser lanu, what's lacking, then the 9 days is not a day of like, oh, let's get over with. You know, what are you doing Shabbos Nachamu? Ever heard this before? What are you doing Shabbos Nachamu? Shabbos Nachamu is like, we've suffered for God for the last 9 days. Yeah? Shabbos Nachamu comes along, oh, Baruch Hashem, we can get back to day-to-day life. Nebuch! Rachmanis, we don't know what we're missing. We children who've been brought up, we were born in the concentration camp. Like I always say the story, we had two soldiers who were there in 67. And it's an amazing, there's a video clip, and there's a recording of it, Rabbi Beryl Wein has it on his 1967, where they liberated the Kosel. And you hear the shooting from above. You hear the bullets from above. You hear the machine gun fire. And you hear Rebbe Shlomo Goren going down to the coastal. Uvnei Yerushalayim in HaKadesh v'mheira av yomeinu baruch ato Hashem b'nei Yerushalayim. And you hear him blowing the shofar. And people broke down. It's the first time the coastal had been in Jewish hands for how many years? Almost how many thousands of years? Right? And people were crying. And there's a famous picture, you know, of three soldiers standing by the wall. The story behind it, not necessarily with these three, but there was a time where there was a frum soldier crying, and the tears pouring down his face, and next to him, there was a chiloni. No shaychus with the Yiddishkeit. Nothing. Nebuch. And he was also crying. So the frum soldier said to him, I'm crying, can understand, but why are you crying? What are you so, what's emotional about you? What's this all about? So he answered back to him, Ani boche, ama shani lo boche. I'm crying because I've nothing to cry for. I'm crying for my own churban. If we can't cry for the churban, then at least cry that we have nothing to cry for. And this is in 9 days. 9 days is a time where, if we understand what the Beis Midrash was about, what our Shaychus the Torah is, what our outside world is feeding us, and how strange we should feel, that's fine. And if we don't cry, it's Ani boche, ama shani lo boche. That is the 9 days. And then suddenly, in the middle of all that, we come into Shabbos. We come into Shabbos. And we come into Shabbos, and we leave behind the clothes, we get dressed in Shabbos, we wipe our tears, we stand up, and we have L'chodei di l'kras kala, we sing it with a niggun, we sing in zmiras, we're eating properly. What happened? What happened? How do we change? And Befrat, when Tisha B'Av is Shabbos, when the Maisel Churban that we are suffering from till today, Shabbos is here, we completely ignore it. How is that Shaykh? I want to tell you two Moedig stories. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld and his Rebbetzin had already lost 6 children. They had Yerushalayim in those days, there was terrible, terrible poverty, terrible illness, plague, disease. 6 children had died. And the 7th child, Shmuel ben Yomin, became very ill. And the situation was such that he quickly deteriorated, and Erev Shabbos he was nifta. And Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld put a shomer to look after him in the hospital. And he came back home and he put on his Shabbos clothes. And he made sure the house was ready for Shabbos. And he went to shul in his shtreimel and his beketra. And he came to shul and he wished everyone a good Shabbos. Didn't mention a word of what happened to his son. With a smile, everyone good Shabbos. He came back home. He had guests. He sang Zmiris, the way he's supposed to sing Zmiris. The next day he went to shul again. Good Shabbos, walking people in the street. Went to Kiddushim. He was completely himself. As Shabbos came to the end, after Shal Shudas, he walked slowly to shul. And he came back, after the moment Marav had finished, he fainted. He fainted. The impact hit him. He knew exactly what was happening, but he controlled himself all that time. The Levaya was immediately arranged, and the people who were close to Yosef Chaim felt it was posh too much. It was too much for him to go to the 7th Levaya of his child. And he said that I am bringing a korban shlomin to Rabbeinu Shleilam. I'm giving a korban oila to Rabbeinu Shleilam. My 7th child is another sign that I take everything Rabbeinu Shleilam gave me, and I understand it's kuloi l'tivasi. Everything's for my good. I want to bring up this korban myself on this mizbeach. The 7th child. That's gadlus. There's another story over here. This is by touched by a story. This is a story of Ramea Premishlan. I read where he reads it from over here. The little girl's illness had left the doctors dumbfounded. They could not figure out the cause of her high fever. By the condition worsened by the day, and with the high holidays approaching, Ramea Premishlan, the famed Rebbe, needed no further motivation for his prayers and his very own daughter's poor health. His disciples, as well as other members of the community, poured out their heartfelt tefillahs for the little girl's condition, but it continued to deteriorate. Nothing seemed to help. But while some members of the immediate family and even the local doctor began to despair, Remeir's faith held strong. His unbending trust in the complete recovery was a source of strength for the rest of the family. Remeir was a unique individual. His pious behavior was well known, and many came from far and wide for his brachas. But what stood out most was the way he prayed as he spoke to the Almighty. When one witnesses utter devotion and concentration during davening, there was no question about to whom he was speaking. Rosh Hashanah came by, and the doctor's grim prognosis caused Rameir to hesitate regarding where he should daven. But he decided to go to shul and plead to Hashem on his daughter's behalf. He blew the shofar, and his congregation was able to sense how critical his daughter's condition was. The situation led to an outpouring of emotion and heartfelt entreaties for the entire congregation. On Yom Kippur, with no visible improvement, yet no deterioration in the little girl's condition, Rameir again went to daven in the shul. On a day when the books of life and death were being sealed, the precarious state of his daughter's health was at the forefront of his mind. Sukkahs were just around the corner, and one could feel with each passing day that the sick little girl's chances lessened. Her life was ebbing away, and nearly all was lost. Every day of Sukkahs, the challenge grew. Many marveled at the sight of Rav Meir leading his students in the performance of various mitzvahs. The Yontu brought with it, but the feeling of dread that the Rebbe's daughter was dying had cast a dark cloud over the entire community. And as Shmini Atzeres arrived, it was difficult to imagine Sukkos as the Zman Simcha saying the time of our happiness and the current frame of mind. Rav Meir was preparing to go to the base of Medrash to pray, when he stopped by to wish his daughter a good Yontu. The room was small, with nothing inside it other than a bed, a small table, a glass of water, various medications, and a chair by his bedside, by her bedside, that was usually occupied by her mother reciting Tehillim. Rav Meir looked at his daughter and was overcome with emotion. Finally he cried out, "Heilige Bashefa, you asked for me, Meirul, to go to Shul and Rosh Hashanah and blow the Shofar, and he fulfilled your request. You requested that he pray in Shul Yom Kippur, and he heeded your call. He even requested that in the face of the little girl's illness he celebrate the Yontov of Sukkot with joy, and with great difficulty he did that as well. But our rabbis inform us that one must bless on the good news one receives in the same manner as he receives as reacts to good news. And Rashi comments that one is required to react with joy, just as one reacts with joy to good news. But now, as my daughter's life is slipping away, you ask Meiril to react with joy. How can I? Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. One is not permitted to combine two moments of happiness. How can I combine the joy of Yontov with the joy of accepting your decree?" As he left the room, the emotions ran high. Hakafas were celebrated with unusual joy. The Hasidim rallied around the Rebbe, and he inspired them to dance with joy. Upon returning home, he was greeted with the news of his daughter that, for the first time in months, had shown some improvement. And for that, Rav Meir was eternally grateful. This is Gadlus, and it's not Dafka by Gedolim. My grandparents, my great-grandparents, they had an only son. They lived in Hungary, and there's something called the Grippa. Grippa was in the 1910s to 1920s. There was a disease, there was a plague that wiped out, I'm not sure how many, hundreds of thousands of people. And he was Nifta, my grandmother's only brother was Nifta. So he had one other brother. The oldest brother was Nifta Friday night. And they put him in a room, and they covered him up, they put a shomer there. My grandmother remembers that the Shabbos meals were exactly the same as any other Shabbos. There was no avedus bechlal, there was no crying, nobody's allowed to talk about what happened. Nobody's allowed to go to shul and say that the son had died. He had to go to shul completely controlled. And they did this. And then, when my sister lost a child, my sister had a child, Nebuch, who was Nifta just Erev Tisha B'Av. He was run over in a car accident, 9 year old. As well, there was, when Shabbos came in, people changed their clothes. There was Shabbos, it was normal Zmiris. It was absolutely, everything was normal. Klal Yisrael has this koyach. Klal Yisrael has a koyach when Shabbos comes in, and even though it's Tisha B'Av, to push away our Vedas, to say to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, you want us to act in one particular way. You want us to be the Simcha amongst all our Tzar. We can do that too, because we are for you. It's not necessary, this is a Chiddush, it's not necessary to keep Hilchus Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. Because if we are able to control our emotions on Shabbos and treat Shabbos the way it's supposed to be, that itself is the greatest korban. To say to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, I'm giving up to you my emotions. I am controlling my emotions because that's what you want. So what is an extra korban? A korban is taking a korban and shechting it. Here I'm taking my whole mind. I'm taking my whole emotions. I'm taking who I am. And saying to Rebbeinu Shleilam, you want me to be happy today? Fine! I'm going to keep Hilchus Shabbos. I'm going to eat meat. I'm going to eat with appetite. Because you control what I'm supposed to be. And I'm able to give over myself and to give over my emotions to the extent that I don't mind. And I'll work on it. It can't be easy. Go for the 9 days into a Shabbos and I'll keep the halachas the way it's supposed to be. So, this is the second lesson. The first lesson is that simcha and atzvus is a stira. And it's very, very difficult for a Shabbos to allow atzvus to come in. Atzvus is not chelik of Yiddishkeit. Sometimes, nebuch, we put through tzoros, we put through a time of mourning. But when Shabbos comes, Shabbos is too much, yom zah over simcha, we don't allow Tisha B'Av to come in. But what the second vort is, no. The second vort is, adarabba, that Shabbos is be'etzem, from the very, very depth of our tzar, from the very depth of the 9 days, we are able to push away Tisha B'Av, we're able to push away the 9 days and say to Rabbi Yisrael, I'm all yours. If you want me to be besimcha now, I'll control my emotions and be besimcha. Either Golus, either Holocaust, either persecution, either own personal Tzoros with our children going off and the situation around us. Rabbeinu Shem, it doesn't matter. You want me to be besimcha, be besimcha. That is the greatest binyan base of Mikdash that we could possibly do. But I want to work on a different mahalach. And I want to work on a mahalach which I saw in the Siva Shalom. It's a shikla chesidisha mahalach. And the chesidim talk a lot about this. The Abderov said that chas v'sholem we should not look at Shabbos chazoin as some kind of b'di'evet Shabbos. I sort of like, yeah, okay. You know, it's a Shabbos where we sort of like on a half measures. The Abderov says there's no greater Shabbos of the year than Shabbos chazoin. And befrat, if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, this Shabbos is the greatest Shabbos it could possibly be. There's no greater Shabbos than the Shabbos that falls on Tisha B'Av. There's no greater simcha of the Shabbos that falls on Tisha B'Av. This is the happiest Shabbos of the year. Certain halachas we have to keep, okay? But with regard to what Shabbos is, this is the Shabbos of the year. Not Shabbos Yom Kippur, and not Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos Tisha B'Av is the greatest Shabbos of the year. Why? So as we know, this Shabbos is known as Shabbos Chazoin. No, Shabbos Chazoin. So we have different Shabbos here. Shabbos Chazoin, we have Shabbos Shira, Shabbos Nachamu. What's Shabbos Chazoin? Why is it called Shabbos Chazoin? Because the Haftorah begins with Chazoin Yishayo. So it's Haftorah Chazoin Yishayo. What is unique about Yishayo is the only Novi where it's mentioned where it says Chazoin. It doesn't say that any other of the Nevi'im Chazoin. It uses other by Nevi'im and it says Va'ata ben Adam, ben Odom. But the Lashon of Chazoin, Chazoin is something uniquely connected to Yishayo. Chazoin Yishayo. So Chazoin Yishayo, what does it mean Chazoin? We'll see in a minute. But Chazoin Yishayo is something which is unique to Yishayo. Yishayo is Chazoin, something which is unique, something special. Right? So this is Shabbos Chazoin. What is a Shabbos Chazoin? What's so exciting about Shabbos Chazoin? What is a Chazoin? What's unique to Yishai that's called Chazoin? The Maral talks about this, and a lot of the Baal Shem as well, but Chazoin is something that is beyond our comprehension. It is something that is over and above Seichel. It's something that, if you may, it's a leap of faith. It's something that is not calculated. It doesn't fit into the usual equation of the way things work. Chazoin is something that is over and above what one would expect. That's Chazoin. What is unique? What is such a Chazoin Yishayo? What is so special about Chazoin Yishayo? In fact, the Pasuk says, Shimu Shmayim Vazino Oretz Ki Hashem Diber. Listen, Shmayim V'Oretz, Hashem is speaking. What is this idea of bringing Shmayim and Oretz into it? You know, as if this is earth-shattering experience. What is special? Chazoin Yishayo ben Amos. What is this? What's the idea behind this? Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. The Ramchal has a very unique mahalach. We've talked about this in the past. We all know the inyan of Sur Mira Naseh Tov. So normally we understand that Sur Mira Naseh Tov means Sur Mira, leave the Ra behind, and Naseh Tov. The way the Rambam explains it is a person can't go to mikveh when it's got sheretz biyodoi. You can't go to do tahara when it's all coming tommy. And therefore, surah mirah, first leave behind the ra, and asay toiv. The Ramchal has different mahalach, and the Ramchal says that it's mashma from the morali says, le nivra elo lehisana isanigal Hashem lohonis meziv shchinosui. Yeah, the only purpose in this world is to come close to Rabbeinu Shleilom. Zu tachlis shel Yehudi v'tachlis ha'avdus. That is a tachlis of a Jew. Ukasha Yehudi zoichalis anigal Hashem. And a person, if a Yehudi zoichal to come connection with Rabbeinu Shleilom, harikola he'idunim v'chola tanugim, every pleasure, sheba'olam heim ka'ayin uke'efes umas ha'tainig hazeh, is nothing compared to this tainug. Umemela mistalik mimenu hora. And the Mela, the Ra, will disappear. In other words, he says, Sur Me Ra, how is a person Sur Me Ra? By Va'asei Tov. You can become close to Rebbein Shleilam. You can Sur Me Ra by coming closer by the Asay Toiv. So two Malachim, there's one Sur Mira and then Asay Toiv, or there's a concept of Sur Mira how by the Asay Toiv. Shabbos is different to the rest of the week. Whereas the rest of the week we're working with the Sur Mira, we're first separating from ourselves the Inyonim of Ra, yeah, the Inyonim of Ra, Shabbos is a Asay Toiv. Shabbos is begeder beyond the human work. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving the Asiyata Dishmaya to Klal Yisrael. It's bringing the Shefa. Yeah, open the door. Let's go. Sorry, no electricity.
Hold on, we'll pause for a moment. Did you look for Shabbos?
Yeah.
Part 2.
The Chazal said, the Gemara says, Kol Hashem is Shabbos Kilchoso. Kol Hashem is Shabbos Kilchoso. A person who guards Shabbos Kilchoso, afilu Ovid Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh. Even if a person of Ovid Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh, Meichlin Loi, he gets all his Averis Meichel. What's Shabbos Kilchoso? Kilchoso means he understands the tachlis of Shabbos. Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this. What is the tachlis of Shabbos? What does it mean? Shabbos brings you up. What's the idea of Shabbos that is so special that Asay Tov Shabbos can change you? V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es haShabbos la'aseis es haShabbos ha'doyreisom v'ris oylom b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael ois hi lo'oylom. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is a kesher that Rabbi Yisrael has to Klal Yisrael, that he promises will be ois hi la'olam, that will be forever and ever. It will never be broken. Even if a person's oivud avodah zarah kedor enosh, if he understands what Shabbos is, Shabbos means coming back home, coming back to the Ribbono shel Olam. Ois hi la'olam means however bad Klal Yisrael are, whatever level they're holding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us bonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds us close. Chazoin Yeshayo ben Amoitz. What is this? What is this with Chazoin? What is incredible? What is beyond our comprehension? What is Shimu Shemaim Azino Oretz? What is this? Listen Shemaim, Kashem Dibe. What is this? Because he said two things. He says, Bonim Godalti Vorimamti Vahim Poshubi. That Bonim, my children, I brought up and they went against me. That Kodesh Baruch Hu still relates to us as Bonim, even though we turned our back on him. That is Chazoin Yeshayo. That is something beyond our comprehension. That we can completely turn our back on the Ribbono shel Olam. We can serve by the Zorka Dora Enosh. And we still Bonim Atin Hashem Alekeichem. That we still close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is a Chazoin. That is something beyond normal comprehension. He says further on, Yeshaya says, V'chein Zera Mareim Bonim Mashchisim. Bonim Mashchisim. They're corrupt sons, but they remain sons. The Koyach of Yeshayo was, of Chazoin Yeshayo is, to understand that the shiflus, however far we are from the Ribbono shel Olam, irrelevant how far we go off, we still remain bonim. Gemara says in Kedushin, Ramea says, Bein kach or bein kach bonai heim. Irrelevant. Irrelevant how far we are, they're still called bonim. That we are still connected to Ribbono shel Olam. And that is what's represented by Shabbos. Shabbos is the Asay Toiv, where we connect with the Ribbono shel Olam, and the Meila that is Aneg, coming close to the Ribbono shel Olam, knowing the Ribbono shel Olam is always there for us, is a greatest opening to Tshuva. If in the 9 days, where we're wallowing in pity, we're wallowing in destruction, we're wallowing in the feeling that we lost, that we have no one looking out for us, that our Averus have made us so dark that we deserve to have the first and base, second base Minish destroyed, that we're living in a doyer, that Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want us to have a base of Migdosh. He does not want to put his home in our neighborhood. He does not want to live amongst us. How depressing, how sad that is. But then Shabbos comes in, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yes, but I want you for my Shabbos. This is a oisi la'olam. This is something that will never ever break. This is something that we're connected forever. And therefore, when Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, and we're coming back to Shabbos, the lowest, darkest day of the year, and suddenly we have a Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the greatest proof, that even a Tisha B'Av, I bring you back. even when he's turned your back on me and he deserved the churbanos, I am here for you when it comes to Shabbos. There's nothing that you can possibly do that will break off this kesher with me. You'll never be menatek. I'm always there when you want to come home. That's why the Shabbos Chazoin shows us the greatest power of Bonayim. That Shabbos Chazoin. Chazoin is something unbelievable. It's Shabbos and it's Chazoin. It's Shabbos shows us that the unbelievable kesher Kodesh Baruch Hu has with Bonim Atim Hashem Elokeichem. Irrelevant what you do, we still Bonayim. You know, it's brought down from the Mizritcha Magid. He says, "Kol roid feho, kol roid feho, yeah, roid feho, roid fei. How do you spell roid feho? Reish vav dalad pei yud hei. Roid feho, his siguha ben asorim, caught a kosh bocha ben amsorim. What's roid feho? Roid def ka. Those people are running after the Rebbeinu Shloilam." His siguha ben Amsorim can reach the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the 3 weeks. If a person knows that however low they are, whichever level they're holding in Yiddishkeit, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is there for them, like Shabbos, is always there, that say Tov Shabbos, irrelevant, if you understand Shabbos, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Moichlin Kolei Kol HaVenosov, that is Chazayin Yishayol. The idea of Shabbos falling on Tisha B'Av is the Shabbos where in the lowest levels we can come back and lift ourselves up into a Shabbos. In our pity, we can't do this and we can't do that. Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, doesn't matter. It's Shabbos. You're back home with me. That's the koyach of the Shabbos. I want to finish off with a beautiful, beautiful story of the Klausenberger Rebbe. I read it out. He writes so beautifully. Again, it's a story from Touched by a Story. He was not interested, at least not for now. Simcha Perlman, living in a DP camp after World War II, watched as others put their lives back together again. Many were religious Jews for whom belief in God defined who they were. As for him, he'd been through too much to care anymore. He had lost everything, including his relationship with God. He knew that it sounded terrible, but he had to be honest with himself. And that was just the way he felt. A few of his acquaintances had tried to convince him otherwise, but he had told them that he needed more time. And with everything Simcha had gone through, who would dare to argue? In fact, after watching his wife and children die before his very eyes, he would have preferred not to continue living at all. But that is not what happened. And now, Simcha had holed up inside of himself. He had become introverted and withdrawn. He kept his distance from everyone in the camp and tried his best to forget what had happened. His eyes were now grey and lifeless. His soul and spirit had almost completely vanished, hidden deep inside of him, veiled behind the protection of indifference. And then, one day, as Simcha was walking through the camp, he spotted a small crowd of people heading towards him. And as it came closer, he realized it was Rabbi Kusil Yehuda Halberstam, the Klausenberger Rebbe, surrounded by his followers. By the way, the Klausenberger Rebbe had lost his wife and 11 children who were all killed in front of him. The Rebbe motioned for his disciples to move ahead while he stopped in an attempt to speak to Simcha. But Simcha, who sensed what was about to happen, did not want to speak to anyone, and certainly not the Rebbe. He did not want to be told how important it was to believe. All he wanted right now was to be left alone. He tried to quicken his pace, but the Rebbe called out to him, and now he had no choice but to turn around and respond. "Rebbe, I'm sorry, but I really don't want to talk right now. Is it something that can wait?" The Rebbe reassured him that it would only take a minute of his time. "Simcha, I know you don't want to talk to anyone right now, and I can never blame you. I just want you to remember one thing." The Rebbe, with his warm, radiant eyes, looked at Simcha and told him only one thing. The only thing he could have told him. "Always remember who you are." Years later, Simcha looks at his family of wonderful Torah-abiding Jews and reflects on the uncanny ability of the Klausenberger Rebbe to say the only thing that would have made any impact on him. A discourse about Hashem, the Torah, the mitzvahs, would not have accomplished anything. The only thing Simcha needed to hear was that he was somebody, a Jew, descended from noble, illustrious people, and he carried within him the God-given ability to rise up from the ashes to carry out the sacred traditions of his nation.